This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive. This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
National Conference on Literature by Women of African Descent. That's Sunday, March 20th at 11 p.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the recording session. Have a seat.
I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh, so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl. So they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar.
You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. This is Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. And let us get ready for an exchange that I had with Jane Cortez earlier than tonight. And it should be fun. And in the parts where, it should be fun. This is something to enjoy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the recording session. Have a seat. Have a cup of tea. Have a glass of water. We're about to start. Hope you enjoy the collaborations. Hope you become familiar with the sounds and the intenseness of expression. Just sit back and relax. This is about getting up in the morning and feeling good with a new day and a new chance to create. Okay? So may the deserts have water. May the storms calm down. May the snows lighten up. May the babies laugh. And may your ears remain open. So, in poetry, in music, in knowledge, in peace, security, and longevity, come on and step into the time flow with us. Come on, let's go. Let's go. I sambaed on the road to John Pessoa. I sambaed on the beach of transparent crabs. I sambaed to sounds of iron bells in the state of Bahia. I had summit while eating moqueca, while watching capoeira, while wearing no shoe belt made by maker of ritual objects in Salvador. I had summit through San Paulo Airport, summit into dark skin, light skin, African, Indian, Portuguese situations of struggle. I had summit into translations while drinking batidas with writers at Ebony Bookstore. I had summit while waiting for a short mustache so-called mulatto who swore he was a Yoruba Baba Zawa. You dig? I had summit onto a corner of handcuffed Afro-Brazilian men. I had summit next to women who were spinning, pulsating, and assaulting police cars. I had summit into House of Candomblé, into Congress of Black Culture, into Purville of African Literature. I had summit and samba. I summit into Transylvania, yeah. I summit with Old Co. I summit in front of Daughters of Santos. I summit against walls of political graffiti. I summit with Shango. I summit with Madu Samba. My samba wrapped in Orisha ribbons. My samba mixed with human spells and vajrata. My samba infused with batapa and gabarenias. The uphill samba bursting out of my feet. The samba whistles hollering out of my navel. The samba fetishes buzzing high in the samba dome of my soul as I samba and samba and samba and samba. Diagonally through Recife floods. Samba upward through sealed cages of Brasilia. Samba away for alcohol fumes in Copacabana. Samba behind homeless children with soccer ball eyes. Samba past dealers dealing drugs. Samba into costume room in Comunidade Mangueira. Samba in front of Protestant missionaries who preach that samba is sin. But samba is life. Samba is friction. Samba is power. Samba is samba. That's why I samba and samba and samba. His heavy flesh in slow motion. Samba next to young women quivering their brown calves in quadruple time. My samba getting drunk off the high-speed rhythms. My samba embedded with bass drums of cachaça. My samba parading and scorching teeth of the Rio de Janeiro sun. My samba absorbing the forest tinge of a poet from Amazonas. My samba squatting down and wiggling up as I samba the samba of my memory, the samba of my fantasy, the samba of my samba, because samba is life, samba is friction, samba is power, samba is everything. That's why I samba and samba and samba and samba and samba.
Hi, my name's Joyce Jones, and I'm here with, what's your name, madam?
My name is Jane Cortez.
And Jane Cortez is visiting the studios of WBAI and Sugar in My Bowl. And thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me.
I hate to ask the general question of where you were born, but where were you born?
I was born in Fort Huachuca, Arizona.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty much why I asked you where you were born, because I couldn't pronounce it.
Uh-huh.
How was that? What was that like?
Well, it was fine. That really, Fort Huachuca was a military base for black soldiers. And I think I lived there for 6 or 7 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And then moved with my family to California. And so I really grew up in Los Angeles.
And life in Los Angeles?
And life in Los Angeles was sunny.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was full of a lot of growing pains. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun on some days. I was in South Los Angeles, or the area closest to Watts.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
What motivated your parents to move to California?
California?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I think they wanted to move. But also, my father was going to be stationed somewhere there in California.
Oh, okay.
And my grandparents had moved from Arizona to San Diego, so it was really good.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What was the art scene like? I mean, you're only 6 years old, so what? And, you know, what is a six-year-old? Well, you were exposed to culture. So what was the culture that surrounded you?
Okay, first of all, we went to San Diego, then from San Diego to Los Angeles, so still at a very early age. So, I was looking at the grown-ups. I had some family that lived near Central Avenue and 42nd Street, so that was around the corner from a lot of the clubs at that time.
Okay.
So it was kind of like that one street at that time in the 40s was kind of like, you know, being in New York City.
Oh, okay.
That it was crowded with a lot of people and a lot of activity going on in that one street, because on that one street within maybe 12 blocks you had at least 10 nightclubs, you know. So, and music was very important in the black community. And as a child growing up, you know, I was fortunate enough that my parents were record collectors, and I heard a lot of music, so I knew a lot of bands, and singers, you know.
So who did you hear? Who did you gravitate toward? Do you remember the names? Did
parents?
Okay.
Oh, yes. I liked very much Nat King Cole and Ella Fitzgerald and Duke Ellington and Billie Holiday. Mm. And then they played a lot of blues, so that was a lot in the home, you know.
Somewhere a woman is singing five different scales at the same time for every stingray bopping in the Savoy Ballroom. She is singing Savoy, Savoy. This energy's coming from me. Savoy, Savoy. I'm sinking my soul in you. Savoy, Savoy. Oh, how my spirit dilates, how my silence pulsates in between these faces in you, Savoy, 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 Savoy. Somewhere a woman superimposing her supernatural nest of robins inside nature of singing Savoy instinctively takes possession of the moon, spins it forward from tune deck of incidental tunes, covers it with her scatology spittle, rolls it to the edge of her edge, and cuts up the space like the great space cutter she is, this woman singing Savoy, Savoy. And flying through porthole of her shipwreck, kicking in all the subversive signals she had suppressed in self-examination booth of ancestral tongues. This woman pushing back the romantic overgrown mangrove of you song books to step out with a Saturday night coup of riffs, everything lovely and sweet and lovely in her retrospective mouth of multiple time systems, mesmerizing and signifying to all the stingrays bopping in the Savoy ballroom. Savoy, 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 Savoy.
Savoy, the home of sweet romance. Savoy, it wins you at a glance. Savoy gives happy feet a chance to dance. Your form just like a clinging vine. Your lips so warm and sweet as wine. Your cheek so soft and close to mine, divine. How my heart is singing while the band is swinging, never tired of romping and stomping with you at the Savoy. What joy, a perfect holiday, Savoy, where we can glide and sway. Savoy, there let me stomp away with you. Baba do beep 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 beep.
Now, there's a whole, this thing about the blues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was growing up, you know, the blues was just the blues. You know, but then, you know, when I got older, I understood that there was the blues that was from Memphis. Then there was the blues that was, you know, there was Delta blues.
Yeah.
There was Chicago blues.
Yeah,
there was apparently blues in California.
Well, yes, a lot of the people from Texas, and Oklahoma and Louisiana all came to California.
Oh, okay.
People from Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, they had a tendency to go towards Chicago.
Okay. So who were the blues folks around you?
Well, Big Mama Thornton,
okay.
For instance, when I was a teenager, she was singing in the Johnny Otis Band, which is a band that played for teenage dances.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was there in the same band was little Esther Phillips.
Oh, wow.
So they were two of the people. But then there were later a lot of small blues clubs. So I did have a chance to hear Lightnin' Hopkins.
Wow.
I heard John Lee Hooker, of course. Mm. I heard Muddy Waters. And I guess, you know, many other blues singers.
I'm taking the blues back home. 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 I'm taking the blues back to where the blues skills won't go. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. Because the blues feelers like to feel when they think they have nothing of their own. When they think they have nothing of their own. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back to the fire of the spirit. I'm taking the blues back to the damp undergrowth. I'm taking the blues back to where the blues feelers won't go. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues out of the mouth of the stealers. I'm taking the blues out of the western spring. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home before somebody sings. Ain't nobody's business if I steal your blues. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. I'm taking the blues back home. They have a right to sing the blues. I'm still the owner of the secret. little somebody pays to play and use the blues. I'm still the owner of the blues from a long time ago, from a long time ago, from a long time ago. I'm the owner of the blues from a long time ago, and I'm taking the blues.
I'd like to sing this song for you. I wrote this song, ladies and gentlemen, in 1960. And the late and great Janis Joplin, she asked me, could she do it? So I told her yes. But I had the pleasure of putting it on the record before she did. So here it is, in my own way, the way I wrote it. Now, she might have did some changes, I don't know. Now, see, I can't sing like nobody but me. I might do your song, but no way in the world I can do you. All right, fellow, D minor, slow and easy. Take it, love, B.B. King style. And it's also dedicated to my baby sister. She's out there in the audience somewhere. And her friend. And also doo-doo and all the little doo-doos. I see them running around, you know. Sitting behind my window. Sitting there looking out at the rain. Oh, looking out at the rain. Something struck me. like a ball and chain. Oh, Lord. Hey, hey, baby. Why you wanna do these old things to me? Hey, hey, baby. Why you wanna do these mean things to me? Is it because I love you? And that is why you want to keep me in misery. Oh, Lord. Ball and chain. Play your soul with me. You find out your heart to be like mine. Oh, wrapped it like a ball and chain. Happen to fool me. Why do everything have to happen to fool me?
Good out, Mom.
So
So your house was filled with records?
Yeah, yeah. At that time, there were 78 in albums, and you just go through and, you know, play one at a time. And that's why you had a chance to really know the different tunes. Like, you could really sing along because it was going to play over and over and over and over. So you knew it.
So did you go to the shop to pick up 78 yourself?
Or? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did. And then later the 33s right. and, you know, so on. So I just kept going right. and collected a lot of music.
Because actually when I was younger, people purchased more 45s than 33s, uh-huh, you know, when, uh-huh. you know, as... Because people purchase singles.
Right, but then, you know, I became really a very, very big jazz fan, mm-hmm. and that wasn't on 45s.
Right, right.
So, you know, you were 33s.
So. Right, right. Yeah, the R&B and pop and what have you
right.
was on 45s.
That's right.
So I understood that Lena Horne was mm-hmm. an acting inspiration for you. Is that true?
Yeah, only because, well, that was at that time she was in film. Mm-hmm. And we all saw Cabin in the Sky and Stormy Weather mm-hmm. and, you know, saw her and we thought she was wonderful. We also thought that Ethel Waters was great, mm-hmm. especially, you know, in Cabin in the Sky.
Right.
Yeah. And in that sense, you know, she inspired a lot of young girls.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I heard acting in particular because you were in theater.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that?
Well, yeah. a little bit. Yeah, I did. I attended acting classes at the Ebony Showcase in Los Angeles. And I had a wonderful... a workshop instructor by the name of Davis Roberts. And I met a lot of young actors at the time, and I enjoyed my time in those workshops. Not only that workshop, but there were other workshops that I attended throughout Los Angeles. And I was very much interested in acting and directing. But then, you know, it was at a time that a lot of stuff was starting to happen in the South. And so I... went to Mississippi, and when I went to Mississippi and I was really involved in the civil rights movement, then that's when I understood that there really were hardly any plays by black playwrights that I would be performing in. And so, therefore, what I did after my involvement in the South is that I came back to Los Angeles and with friends who were interested in starting kind of another kind of a workshop in the black community, and I mentioned that maybe we should do this in Watts, and so I started the Watts Repertory Theater Company.
Wow. You know. So how was that?
That was good because we did a lot of our own plays that we wrote, and we did a lot of improvisational work. Mm. You know, so it was good.
How did being in the theater help with your writing?
Well, I don't know if it helped me with my writing, because I was always writing poetry because I started keeping notebooks at a young age, and now I have the same notebooks, as you will notice. I'm never without a notebook.
Uh-huh.
And where I keep a lot of notes and a lot of things I want to remember. And I think the notes helped me more than any of the acting, or that might have helped me in performance more, you know, stage presence right. and all of that kind of stuff.
So let's go back to Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I understood you worked in a factory.
Not in Mississippi.
Oh, okay. Well,
no,
I worked in
factories okay. in Los Angeles in the garment industry.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So... But in Mississippi, I went there to work with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in the voter registration project, and my task was to survey what was going on in Mississippi with the various workers and to meet some of the leaders and then come back to Los Angeles, set up a Friends of SNCC support group, and raise funds for the project.
Did you often put on performances to raise funds?
I did put on maybe two or three performances, and that's when I did my first one-woman show with poetry and music.
What was that called?
Well, it was called many things at different times.
Oh, okay.
but it gave me a chance to really experiment and read a lot of poetry and work with some really fine musicians.
Mm. So, who'd you work with?
I worked with, with Horace Tapscott for one.
Uh-huh. Piano,
one time.
Right?
Piano player, brilliant mm-hmm. piano player, mm-hmm. and his group. And I worked with the tenor saxophonist, Teddy Edwards, mm-hmm. and then other musicians at the time. Mm-hmm. And those performances were like, 1964. We did a lot of rehearsing and stuff like that in 63, but the concerts were actually in 1964, 1965, 66, and then I came to New York City in 1967.
Welcome to New York City. Wow, what was that all about? How was that for you?
Coming to New York City,
city.
I always wanted to come to New York City. I imagined myself here, because I was a jazz fan and I loved the music of Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie and a lot of different people who were playing bebop in the late 40s and early 50s, and then later with more avant-garde jazz, as it's called.
Free jazz.
Free jazz or just black music.
Yeah.
So being in New York gave me a chance to work with a lot of different musicians, reading my poetry, and I love living in New York. I still do.
So I take it that's around the time you met
No. Actually met Ornette in about the end of 1950 and 51 at a jam session in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, because he was on the West Coast.
That moment he was traveling with a blues band, and they disbanded in Los Angeles and stranded the musicians.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I've heard about that happening. Hate to interrupt Mr. Coleman's solo there, But I really must tell you what you're listening to. This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM, Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. We are listening to Jane, J-A-Y-N-E, in the background by Ornette Coleman. This is from Something Else, the music of Ornette Coleman. It was, let's see, released in 1958. We have Ornette Coleman on alto sax, Don Cherry on trumpet, Walter Norris on piano, Don Payne on bass, and Billy Higgins on drums. Before that, we heard Big Mama Thornton, Ball and Chain. And, let's see, I got that from Sassy Mama. It was released in 2005. It's a compilation. Also, before that, we heard They Call Me Big Mama. That was from Hound Dog compilation. A box set, actually. The Peacock Recordings, released in 1992. And before that, we heard Taking the Blues Back Home, Jane Cortez and the Fire Spitters, the title track from the Verve release. Jane Cortez voice, Donardo Coleman drums, Talib Kwebwe alto sax, Al McDowell on bass, Bern Nix and Carl Weatherby on guitar, Frank Lowe on tenor sax. Before that, we heard Stompin' at the Savoy, Ella Fitzgerald, and Louis Armstrong. I got this from a compilation, The Wonderful World of Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong. Before that, we heard Samba's Power, Jane Cortez and the Fire Spitters, Cheerful and Optimistic. There's Don Cherry. Yeah. On the Bola Press label. Jane Cortez voice, Donardo Coleman drums, Talib Kwebwe alto sax, Al McDowell bass, Bern Nix on guitar, Apizo Bangura on djembe, and Selu Sousa on kora, also Sajo Coyote on kora. Before that, we heard Hello Everybody, and that was also from Cheerful and Optimistic. It's Jane Cortez voice, Donardo Coleman drums, Talib Kwebwe alto sax, Al McDowell bass, and Bern Nix on guitar. And we open the show with the theme, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, from the compilation The Very Best of Nina Simone. Sugar in My Bowl, actually, The Very Best of Nina Simone, 1967-1972. And stay tuned for more Jane Cortez and Ornette Coleman in this case. Jane, J-A-Y-N-E, on Sugar My Bowl in WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Go, Don, go.
So you performed together as well, didn't you? Rarely?
We didn't. He performed on one of my recordings in New York City. But we did some things together just, you know, not for the public.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talking about things, experimenting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you know,
like that.
Okay. Yeah, I guess one would say DiNardo was something you didn't do.
Oh. Well, listen, I was married to him in 1954, you know.
Wow. Wow.
For 10 years, so, you know, we had a lot of very good conversations about music and stuff.
And then you met Mel.
And then I met Mel. Melvin Edwards.
Yes.
Yeah, my second husband.
Yes.
Who is a sculptor.
Yes.
And that was nice because in high school, well, in junior high school, I was really a music student, but I was a music art student in high school and thought I would be a visual artist.
Mm-hmm.
And so hanging out with Mel gave me a chance to really go to a lot more gallery shows, a lot more museums, really had someone to talk to about the various images and, you know, and a lot of the visual art activities.
And he works in steel.
Yes, he does. He makes small steel, small pieces and large monumental works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, during the Slave Roots conference at NYU.
2008.
I was introduced to his work then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing pieces. They're all over the place. They're all over this continental United States.
Yeah, it seems that way now.
Yeah. Is he still sculpting?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, he will never give that up. Mm. It might give him up, but he'll never give it up.
He's still sculpting in steel.
Well, he still works in steel,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. You had written a piece, I guess it was more from what I read. It was about Ogun, but it was for Mel.
Yeah. I called it Ogun's Friend.
Ah.
Yeah.
Your eyes like bumps of flint. I saw your shoes like high-top boulders. I saw your hands like faces of fire. I saw your fingers like axes of Shango. I saw your body like a rocker of steel. Yo! I heard a hum down there. I heard a rumble down there. I heard a ghost down there. I heard a thunderbolt expel down there. I heard an anvil in the night go, down there. Hey, whose meadows are shouting so loud? They must be the tapper that Ogun knows. Whose are those beads so hot and black? They must be brass for Ogun to fill. Who's that worker with corrugated gums? It must be the worker that Ogun chose. Who's that one with feet like flames? It must be the welder that's Ogun's friend. Yo! I smell a chicken in here. I smell some charcoal in here. I smell a goat in here. I smell some wax in here. I smell a dog in here. I smell some clay and some oil and some blood in here. Hey, I see your chains like links of teeth, crowbars. I see your coils like female pouches, barbed wire. I see your grills like braided snake fishnets. I see your ladder like a totem of pliers, crocodiles. I see your pipes like razors on tusk wine bottles. I see your scissors and your keys on the table in there. Uh-huh. Yo, you got pad legs made into hats. You got diamond plates made into walls. You got straightening combs made into steps. You got hammerheads made into skulls. You got flat rings made into ears. Flat rings, hammerheads, straightening combs, diamond plates, pad legs, yo. I feel your flux. I feel your sander. I feel your drill bit. I feel your grinder. I feel your drill press. I feel your hacksaw. I feel your brick axe. I saw your windows like sheets of steel. I heard a gong down there. I saw some navels like bushes of wire. I heard a bird down there. Hey, you got lizard tongues made into tongs. I feel your balls spot. You got snake skins covered in bronze. I feel your chin marks. Lizard tongues, bald spots, snake skins, chin marks, yo. I smell some fish in here. I see a wheel down there. I smell some toes in here. I see a horn down there. I smell some funk in here. I see a knife down there. I smell some rats in here. I see a person down there. Who's that one so brown and fine? Ogun's friend. Who's that one in green on green? Ogun's friend. Who's that one who eats so fast? Ogun's friend. Who's that one with toothpaste lips? Ogun's friend. Who's that one who spits on tools? Ogun's friend. Ogun's friend. Ogun's friend. Ogun's friend. Ogun's friend, Ogun's friend, Ogun's friend, Ogun's friend.
Man, that came from really spending some years in and out of Nigeria and becoming aware of a lot of the African deities, the Yoruba deities, and knowing that Ogun was the god of iron, of war, and so all of the metal workers and the blacksmiths were a part of, you know, the Ogun, in the Ogun tradition.
Right.
On Sunday, March 20th at 11 p.m., Sugar and My Bowl will feature Miss Jane Cortez, writer, poet, performance artist, and co-founder of Yari Yari, an international conference on literature by women of African descent. That's Sunday, March 20th at 11 p.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the recording session. Have a seat.
The impoverishment of public discourse on the commercial airwaves is terrifying. We now accept that celebrity gossip is news. We speak in the tired jargon and cliches handed to us by the corporate state, by advertising.
The New York Society for Ethical Culture presents Chris Hedges, war correspondent, Pulitzer Prize winner, and author of Death of the Liberal Class on Tuesday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. Interview conducted by Dr. Joel Chuman. The New York Society for Ethical Culture is located at 2 West 64th Street off Central Park West. For ticket details, visit nysec.org.
If we win this battle and the money is not there under the auspices of the unions, certainly what you're going to find is President Obama is going to have a much more difficult time getting elected and winning the state of Wisconsin.
If you elect me as your next governor, I pledge to you here today and to all the other citizens of the state of Wisconsin that by the end of my first term, we will create 250,000 new jobs in this state and 10,000 new businesses by the end of that first term.
That's telling it like it is with Stephen the Road Warrior. This and alternating Mondays, 3 to 5 a.m. on 99.5 FM. Streaming live and archived on WBAI in New York. Let your conscience be
your guide. You know, there's that piece, we want the oil, but we don't want the people. Did that come from your spending time in Nigeria?
Yeah, because the piece was, it's not they would call they want the oil. That's not the title. The title was Nigerian-American Relations. Mm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that one line just says it. You know.
They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people.
They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They want the oil, but they don't want the people. They don't want the people. They don't want the people. They don't want the people.
And of course, that can be used in the Middle East and in other places as well. Basically, somebody wants your resources. They don't want you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like we got here on a slave ship. They mm-hmm. wanted our labor, free labor, but they don't really want you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've often replaced oil for many
right.
things.
Many resources. Mm.
Tell me about Claude Rees Jr. Who was Claude Rees Jr.?
Claude Rees Jr. was a young boy, 14 years old, in Brooklyn, and he was shot in the head by the police mm-hmm. who came into his house. You know, I think there was some, I can't remember, there was some event going on in his house, maybe a little get-together or something, but, you know, and they shot him, mm-hmm. and that's who Claude Rees was. And I responded to that incident in the piece that I guess you have it. Or you
no,
don't
I don't
have
actually.
It.
No, actually, I have a. I think I have a piece of a piece.
But this happened in the 1970s. Mm. It was called "Give Me the Red on the Black of the Bullet." Bring back the life of Claude Rees Jr. I want the bullet from his head. To make a Benin bronze, to make an explosion of thunder, to make a cyclone. I want the 14 years of Claude Rees Jr., shot on the 15th day of September, shot in the back of his head, shot by a police officer in Brooklyn, shot for being black. Give me the black on the red of the bullet. I want to make a tornado, to make an earthquake, to make a fleet of stilts for the blackness of Claude Rees Jr. The blackness called dangerous weapon, called resisting an arrest, called nigger threat. I want the life of the blackness of Claude Rees Jr. I want the bullet from his head to make a protective staff for startled children, to make hooks and studs for warrior mask. Give me the bullet with the odor and the smoke and the skin and the hair of Claude Rees Jr. I want to make power. I want to make power for the blackness of Claude Rees Jr. The blackness called pent-up frustration, called unidentified Negro, called revolutionary. I want the life of the blackness of Claude Rees Jr. I want the bullet from his head to make a protective staff for startled children, to make a Benin bronze, to make an explosion of thunder, to make a cyclone. I want the bullet to bring back the blood of Claude Rees Jr. I want to make justice. I want to make justice for the blackness of Claude Rees Jr. Bring back the bullet with the blood of the blackness of Claude Rees Jr. I want to make justice. I want to make justice for the blackness of Claude Rees Jr.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for reading mm-hmm. that. So that's not the only piece that you'd written with regard to police brutality.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Police brutality is, you know, a problem within all of the black communities, and it's unavoidable. So it's something that you want to write about.
Liberty, justice, equality? Maybe in the 21st century. Maybe on another planet. Maybe in outer space. Maybe, 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 maybe. No justice, no liberty. What kind of a democracy is this? Equality? Maybe in the 21st century. Maybe on another planet. Maybe in outer space. Maybe, 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 maybe.
Tell me, how was it for you raising a son?
How do you mean, how was it for me raising a son?
Well, since we were talking about police and
you know,
how they behave.
Raising DiNardo was easy because he was such a sweet child and such a helpful, independent young boy that it was just delightful. It was wonderful. I discovered a lot of, you know, things about myself as a mother, and to still kind of be hanging out with my son at this age is great.
Yeah, because he drums in your
ensemble. Yeah, he works in his father's band, and he works in my band as
Fire
well.
Spitters.
Yeah. In fact, we organized the Fire Spitter Band together.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
see the affliction. You go see the battlefield. You go see the warriors. You go as a healer. You go conjurate. You go mediate. You go to the cemetery of drums. Return and tell us about it. Oh, yeah. I say, I see Channel Pulso.
For the most part, it seems as though there are interchangeable members of the Fire Spitters, mm-hmm. But there seem to be consistents like DiNardo.
And Al Magdal, okay. And Bern Nix.
Okay.
So the rhythm section was, and so they're there most of the time, all of the time.
Bern Nix is?
The guitar player, okay. And Al Magdal is a bass player.
Okay.
And then we have various, depending on the gig, the appearance and the money. I like to perform with a lot of different musicians, and we have had as many as 10 people in the band.
Wow.
And then 3.
Yeah.
You know, and we've worked with, TK Blue sometimes on alto saxophone, and the late Sam Furness on alto saxophone worked with us, and Alex Harding, of course, our wonderful baritone player.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, he is. He's a wonderful person, too. And Charles Moffett Jr. used to play tenor saxophone with us. And just it has been different horn players. And it's at one point we had kora players and other percussionists. Mm. You know? Yeah.
Oh, back to the horn, Lakeisha Benjamin.
And Lakeisha Benjamin played with us. And also Montana
Roberts.
Played with us. Uh-huh. And the Matana. That's how she pronounces her name, Montana Roberts. And who else worked with us? Bill Cole played Indian Chennai and Chinese Sona.
I saw him at the Brecht. Actually, I saw him at the Vision Festival, too.
Okay, yeah.
With Warren Smith.
Okay, yeah.
On drums.
Yeah. And Warren Smith has... I've worked with Warren. I've worked with Bill and Warren and Joe Daly. You know, that
yeah,
group.
Right, right.
And I've worked with many other different groups. But the Fire Spitter group is special.
Yeah. How did you and Donato decide that you wanted to do Fire Spitters?
You know, because I had worked with all of the other groups before and never really had the chance to experiment and really, well, everything's an experiment, I guess, but I wanted to have more time to really work out words with music. And I wanted to make sure that the poetry was the guide line or the center post where everything came from or has to, in other words, the musicians are responding to the poetry, to the words, to the feeling in the words.
Right.
And they are using that as their point of departure in the improvisations. And I wanted it to be that way and sort of not the other way around.
Okay.
And in order to do that, see, you have to have your own group.
Right, right, right. That's true. Sit in on somebody else's group.
Yeah, you know. It's the way they want it to go.
Right. You want to read something else?
Okay. This is called Find Your Own Voice. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. The sounds of drizzle on dry leaves are not like sounds of insults between pedestrians. The women laughing in the window do not sound like air conditioners on the blink. The river turtle does not breathe like a slithering boa constrictor. The roar of a bull is not like the cackle of a hyena. The growl of a sea leopard is not like the teething cry of a baby. The slash of a barracuda is not like the gulp of a leaping whale. The speech of a tiger shark is not like the bark of an eagle fish. The scent of a gardenia is not like the scent of a tangerine. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it.
Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. Find your own voice. The sounds of drizzle on dry leaves are not like the sounds of insults between pedestrians. Those women laughing in the window do not sound like air conditioners on the brink. The river turtle does not breathe like a slithering boa constrictor. The roar of a bull is not like the cackle of a hyena. Find your own voice and you use your own voice and find it. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. Baby, the slash of a barracuda
is not like the gulp of a leaping whale. The speech of a tiger shark is not like the bark of an eagle fish. The scent of a gardenia is not like the scent of a tangerine. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice and find it. Find your own voice and use it. Use your own voice.
And on the subject of your voice, do you think your voice has grown into your words?
Does
it fit?
Yeah, it fits. It's all one thing. You know, it's what you have, how you want to say words, and your interest in languages, you're interested, you know, if you're interested in playing with words. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't matter what your voice sounds. I mean, it's going to sound like your voice.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you are doing, and, you know, the words that I'm putting down there in, you know, one word following the other word, and because I'm interested in sound, I'm interested in the sound of words. Mm-hmm. And the sound also helps to make the image, and from the image then comes the rhythms or the improvisations and everything else, and so it's all because of the sound of, you know, of the word.
Mm-hmm. Were you involved in, like, on apparently in on the East Coast in New York there was the Black Arts Movement?
Mm-hmm.
Were you in a movement?
Well, it wasn't a movement at that moment, but yes, I was involved with people. Okay, if you want to call it the Black Arts Movement, yes. Mm-hmm. You could also say that the Black Arts Movement was happening, you know, in many more places. Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles, for instance, mm-hmm. you know, there was a movement of black artists interested in the same thing that the people on the East Coast were interested in. Mm-hmm. And the Black Arts Movement really followed the tradition, I would say the more revolutionary tradition of resistance and of promoting or caring about freedom. Mm-hmm. That happened on the shores of Africa. Mm-hmm. With the beginning of the freedom movement. Mm-hmm. The Black Freedom Movement. So I think literary artists, musicians, and visual artists all responded to things that were happening within the black community in the 60s, and that the Black Arts Movement was a part of the civil rights black power movement, and it was very important and still important. Mm-hmm. It didn't get the kind of media play or the airplay that, say, people in the rap generation that they get for what they do, which is a watered down version of what was happening within the Black Arts Movement.
What would you say to yourself if you had to lay on your back, hold up the horn, and play 99 courses of a tune called Flying Home exactly as you recorded it 55 years ago? And what would you think to yourself if you woke up in the afternoon and your head was still spinning with voices shouting, "Flying home, go flying home"? And what would you do if someone whispered in your ear, "Hug me, kiss me, but please don't play flying home"?
And what if a customer said, tonight I'm having sex with a person who has been up in a flying saucer, so please fuck me down good with flying home. Areas in the world just to perform your infectious version of flying home. And what if you saw yourself looking like a madman with a smashed horn walking backward on a subway platform after 50 years of blowing flying home? And what would you think to yourself if you had to play flying home when you didn't have no home to fly to? And what if flying home became your boogie-woogie social security check, your oldie but goodie way out of retirement, and was more valuable than you? I mean, somewhere in advance of nowhere, you're in here after being out there, pretending to be in here, knowing that you're out there, saying that you're in here, dreaming of being out there, acting like you're in here, living like you're out there, celebrating that you're in here, afraid of being out there, feeling like you're in here, shouting like you're out there, laughing like you're in here, running like you're out there, smelling like you're in here, wondering if you're out there, thinking that you're in here, talking like you're out there, in here, out there, flying off, flying out, flying home.
The continent of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned that you've been going back to Nigeria and back and forth. Are there other parts of the continent that you visit regularly?
Yeah, sure. I visited in 1967 was my first visit to Africa. I went to Ghana, I went to Ethiopia, Sudan, and Nigeria. And then in the 70s, in 1970, 71, 73, I went to Ghana, but in Togo, through Dahomey into Nigeria, and really stayed in Nigeria, spent summers living in Nigeria, mainly in Ibadan or Benin City.
How did you wind up going to the continent initially?
I wanted to go there because I wanted to go there. Okay. But it was very good to have been in Mississippi in 1963 and 64 because it was a really nice connection from there to Ghana and to Nigeria.
Okay.
So I always wanted to go to Africa. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I had the chance to go and had a ticket. Yes, in the 1970s, it was there were some charter flights that you could go for $350 round trip and
wow.
blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Listen, you know, go now and pay later. The main thing was just get there, see
yeah.
what's happening. So DiNardo and I went in 67, and we were the first ones in our family to touch down in Africa. You know, after 400 years.
Wow.
So I felt that was very special, you know. Mm-hmm. And traveling is very good. It's very good to be able to see or meet people from other cultures.
Yes.
In
definitely.
Their homeland.
Yes.
And to hear a lot of other languages and just see how people do what they do and mm-hmm. communicate. And you can do that while traveling, then you really, really learn a lot.
There's one more thing I do want to ask you about, because I sort of thought of it as you were talking. Teaching.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you do that, and how did you wind up in the institutions that you wound up in?
Well, I did it off and on for many years. Like I was teaching in the workshop settings in Los Angeles, giving a lot of lectures all around the United States in various universities and colleges. And then I was teaching once I taught the history of jazz in the College of New Rochelle. I taught black music, black literature, and poetry at Rutgers University in New Brunswick for a few years. And then I was artist in residence in a few places, and I've been teaching, I guess, for a long time.
How did that happen? How people just came to you and it's like, come to our institution.
Yeah. Yeah, I could tell you, yeah, that's how it happened, exactly.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, are you interested in da-da-da-da-da?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'm interested. Well, come, I'm going to set up an interview for you and da-da-da-da-da. And it happened like that, yeah. But, you know, it helps when you're a poet or you're a writer or in any of the arts that you have a lot of different kind of jobs so that you have contact with many, many different people. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't just teaching all the time. I was doing a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm. How did you wind up putting together Yari Yari?
Well, first let's start with the Organization of Women Writers of Africa. I am one of the co-founders with Ama Ata Edu of Ghana, a wonderful writer. Together, we decided to form this organization. And we had our board, our only board, really. Our executive committee consists of Louise Merriweather, J.E. Franklin, Rashida Ismaili, Cheryl Green and Renee Leria, and now we are bringing in younger people like Rosamond King and other young women to then take over from us.
Mm-hmm.
But Ama and I felt that we needed an organization. We noticed that going to various conferences that we would see each other, and we didn't know anything about each other's writings, each other's cultures, nothing. So we felt like we needed an organization to bring all that together and to address some problems of censorship, some problems of publishing and distribution and all of that, and that we could better do it if we had an organization. Mm-hmm. So within the organization, we decided one way to bring a lot of writers together, not just us, that we could have a conference on women's writing, the mm-hmm. writing of women from around the world. So we started Yari Yari, Black Women Writers in the Future, was the first conference that took place in 1997 at New York University with the co-sponsorship of the Institute of African American Affairs of NYU. And that conference included about 150 women writers from all over Africa, Europe, Canada and the United States, and it was really a powerful conference.
Mm-hmm.
The second conference was called, and Yari Yari, of course, means the future of the future, in one of the languages of Sierra Leone. And the second Yari Yari conference was held in 2004, and it was called Yari Yari, Black Women Writers Dissecting Globalization. And it was also co-sponsored by the Institute of African American Affairs at NYU, and mainly everything was held at NYU and the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture. So in that conference, we brought the same amount of women, and we were able to, really dissect globalization in an interesting way. And what's wonderful, the both conferences are, portions of both conferences can be found on film and those films are distributed by Third World Newsreel.
All right. I was just going to ask you about that because I heard about the film. You were given a director's credit on those films.
I was the director on both films. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're in discussions about our next Yari Yari, and we only do the Yari Yari conferences when we think it's really needed, so that you notice it doesn't come every year, every 2 years. You don't know when it's going to come.
That's true.
But we feel like we are going to have another Yari Yari conference, and it's going to take place in Accra, Ghana, in January of 2013.
How did you decide on that date?
Well, I had a nice meeting with Ama Ate Edu in December, and we decided, it was time to do the Yari Yari in Africa.
Okay.
And we had wanted to do one in Africa, so now is the time.
If the drum is a woman, why are you pounding your drum into an insane babble? Why are you pistol whipping your drum at dawn? Why are you shooting through the head of your drum and making a drum tragedy of drums? If the drum is a woman, then don't abuse your drum. Don't abuse your drum. Don't abuse your drum. I know the night is full of displaced persons, yes. I see skin striped with flames, yes. I know the ugly dispositions of underpaid clerks. They constantly menstruate through the eyes, yes. I know bitterness embedded in flesh, yes. The itching alone can drive you crazy, uh-huh. Hey, I know that this is America, and the chickens are coming home to roost on the MX missile, yes. But if the drum is a woman, why are you choking your drum? Why? Why are you raping your drum? Why? Why are you saying disrespectful things to your mother drum, your sister drum, your wife drum, and your infant daughter drum? Why? I mean, if the drum is a woman, then understand your drum. Understand your drum. Your drum is not docile. Your drum is not invisible, no. Your drum is not inferior to you, no way. Your drum is a woman. Your drum is a woman. So don't reject your drum. Don't try to dominate your drum. Don't become weak and cold and desert your drum. Don't be forced into a position as an oppressor of drums and make a drum tragedy of drums. If the drum is a woman, don't abuse your drum. Don't abuse your drum. Don't abuse your drum. Don't abuse your drum.
What are you up to? Are you going to be doing anything in the city or this country? Speaking of the
Well, I'm working, on another CD.
Okay.
And it's based on some live performances at the Vision Festival and at a couple of universities. So, but just wanting to put out some of the live performances that we did. So I'm working on that.
Excellent.
As well as probably always another book. I'm always working on something, and I have a lot of readings. Mm-hmm. And no performances that I know of right here in the city. Mm-hmm. Doing a bunch of things.
Right.
As well as hanging out with friends. And I just came back to cold, chilly, freezing New York in January. And I was in Senegal for the Black Arts Festival of Black Arts there in December. Mm. And, I'll be going back to Senegal in May. So it's still, a lot of traveling involved, a lot of performing still, and just a lot of seeing and thinking about things.
Well, thank you very much, Jane Cortez. Thank you for visiting WBAI and Sugar in My Bowl.
Okay, and thank you so much for inviting me.
What you're listening to right now is A Night in Tunisia, Dizzy Gillespie from Afro. What is this now? On Verve, on the Verve record label. I've got a... Oh, goodness. Let's go to the Jane stuff, because I got to hurry up and say what's been going on. I'm playing this for Jane Cortez, actually, because, you know, she's a fan of Dizzy Gillespie. So, this is for Jane. And Ms. Dr. Professor Jane Cortez, whom we were listening to, whom I had a conversation with in February. So that's what you've been listening to this evening, or this morning, the evening into the morning. So let's see, we will start off with, we will work backwards. As I mentioned, you are listening to Night in Tunisia from Afro. This is, before that we heard If the Drum is a Woman from There It Is, Bola Press, 1982. Jane Cortez voice, Abraham Azinya on conga, Bill Colt. See, this is the lineup for There It Is. So I'm going to give it all to you now, and it may or may not be relevant to the tracks because, unfortunately, I don't have track-related musicians. But on There It Is, Abraham Adzina on conga, Bill Cole on chennai, flute, muzet, and Korean sona, Denaro Coleman on drums, Farrell Johnson Jr. on bongo, bell, and conga, Charles Moffat Jr. on tenor sax, Bern Nix on guitar, and Jamaluddin Takuma on electric bass. Before that, we heard About Flying Home, the Jane Cortez and the Firespitters from Borders of Disorderly Time, Bola Press, 2003, Jane Cortez voice, Denardo Coleman on drums, Frank Lowe, tenor sax, Al McDowell on bass, Bernie Nix on guitar, Sam Furness, alto sax, Alex Harding, the great Alex Harding on baritone sax, James Blood Ulmer, the great James Blood Ulmer on guitar. They're all great. All the musicians are great. Before that, we heard Find Your Own Voice, Jane Cortez and the Firespitters from Cheerful and Optimistic, Bola Press, Jane Cortez voice, Donardo Coleman drums, Frank Lowe tenor sax, Al McDowell bass, Bern Nix guitar, and James Carter on baritone sax. Before that, we heard I See Chano Pozo, and that too was from There It Is, Bola Press, 1982. Before that, we heard Maybe. It's originally from Everywhere Drums, which was released on Bola Press in 1990, but you can find it, because you can't find Everywhere Drums, you can find it on Find Your Own Voice, a compilation released on Bola Press in 2006. That's Jane Cortez voice, Ed Blackwell drums, Frank Lowe tenor sax, Bern Nix guitar, Charles Moffat Jr. tenor sax, Al McDowell bass, Donardo Coleman drums, Bill Cole, Korean Hojok, and Abraham K. Adzinya on percussion. And before that, we heard U.S.-Nigerian Relations And that, too, is from There It Is, Bola Press, 1982. Before that, we heard Ogun's friend, Jane Cortez, from Unsubmissive Blues. That's Bola Press, 1979. Good luck finding that as well. Jane Cortez, voice, Donardo Coleman drums, Joe Daly, tuba, Burn Nick's guitar. This was produced by Jane Cortez. And before that, Ornette Coleman, Jane, J-A-Y-N-E, Cortez, as in Jane Cortez. And let's see, we have a couple more minutes. I think I will play, let's listen to the rest of Dizzy, and I'll figure out something from Jane that I'm going to play, and then I guess we'll say goodnight. Stay tuned. This is WBAI Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. Stay tuned indeed.
Algeria. Combine that with some jazz saxophone improvisations. Use a hip-hop beat. Throw in a couple of Miles Davis solos. Add a little European classical music to the mix. Then fuse that with the hee-hawing of a jackass and the gonging of church bells. Put this taped amalgamation through a computer and imitate the computer sound with your acoustic instrument and say the next advancement in the music called jazz is coming from you. But what about the history of humans imitating machines? And why did bluesmen imitate train whistles? What are the facts? What are the false claims? What is your reality?
Okay, I hate to interrupt Jane and to talk over, but there was something I did promise two people that I would announce. Maggie Brown, daughter of Oscar Brown Jr., is going to be at the Schomburg Center on Monday, tomorrow, March 21st at 7 p.m. She's performing Maggie Sings Abby. If anyone heard the Abby Lincoln special that I had done in October, they heard Maggie Brown mentioned that she would be coming to the Schomburg this month. Well, the month is here, and tomorrow is that day, from 7 to 9 p.m. So, let's see, you would need to contact Schomburg. It would be nice if I had the information here. I'll have to come back to you with that. And we also have something regarding a woman. Yeah, music in celebration of Women's History Month. That's next Sunday, March 27th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Cornelia Street Cafe, 29 Cornelia Street. There's Karen Taylor, Karen D. Taylor, vocalist, Marcus Persiani on piano, Mimi Jones on bass, Russell Carter, traps, Khalil Kwame Bell on percussion. And, you know, I really wish people would send me information, complete information. Let's see if I have for Cornelia Street Cafe. We have a couple of minutes. And we have like less than a minute of Jane. Oh, yeah. Cornelia Street Cafe is at, 29 Cornelia Street. You can, you know, that's all right. Let me come back to you on that. Hey, they have a phone number, 212-989-9319. 212-989-9319. Let's listen to a little more Jane.
What are the contradictions? What is your reality?
All right. Well, that's it for us here on Sugar My Bowl. Stay tuned. Coming up next is... I wish I could have gotten back to the Schomburg, but you know where the Schomburg is. It's on 135th Street and Malcolm X Boulevard at 7, from 7 to 9 p.m. Look it up. You know where the Schomburg is. Check it out. Check it out. See Maggie Brown. She doesn't live here in this city, so, you know, you need to do it now or be sorry. And thank you for listening to Sugar in My Bowl. Next week, let's see, who'll be on next week? Sports Qualified with M. Saidiya McLaughlin. Yeah, it's not music, but, you know, there it is. And stay tuned for La Nueva Alternativa. They should be around here somewhere. I don't see them, but they should be making their way here. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
This battle, and the money is not there under the auspices of the unions. Certainly, what you're going to find is President Obama is going to have a much more difficult time getting elected and winning the state of Wisconsin.
If you elect me as your next governor, I pledge to you here today and to all the other citizens of the state of Wisconsin that by the end of my first term, we will create 250,000 new jobs in this state and 10,000 new businesses by the end of that first term.
That's telling it like it is with Stephen the Road Warrior. This and alternating Mondays, 3 to 5 a.m. on 99.5 FM. Streaming live and archived on WBAI in New York.
Let your conscience be your guide.
The impoverishment of public discourse on the commercial airwaves is terrifying. We now accept that celebrity gossip is news. We speak in the tired jargon and cliches handed to us by the corporate state, by advertising.
The New York Society for Ethical Culture presents Chris Hedges, war correspondent, Pulitzer Prize winner, and author of Death of the Liberal Class on Tuesday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. Interview conducted by Dr. Joel Chuman. The New York Society for Ethical Culture is located at 2 West 64th Street off Central Park West. For ticket details, visit nysec.org.
Since the buildings we live and work in are a source of so much climate change, why can't they make them any better? Well, for 15 years, architect Chris Benedict and engineer Henry Gifford's buildings use as little as one-tenth of the energy, and for the same budget or less. They're Ken Gale's guests on the next episode of Ecologic this Tuesday evening, March 22nd at 8 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
My building has every convenience.
Ladies and gentlemen, join the award-winning Midnight Ravers on Friday, March 25th, 2011, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m., as we proudly present This is Rebel Music. Hear how music that's been written in response...
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive. Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.